Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back at the baseball winter meetings, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, we are joined right now by two of the best sports writers in the country who cover Major League Baseball.
When you say breaking news, these two's names are usually at the front.
They're usually there. It's funny, Scott Miller's trying to hand the microphone to Bob Nightingale because Scott Miller thinks Bob Nightingale's a better writer. Bob Nightingale's trying to hand the microphone to Scott Miller because he thinks Scott Miller's a better writer. I'll tell you what, I worked with both of them at the LA Times back in the day, and they're both tremendous. Scott, how are you?
Real good, Chris. Tony, nice to be with
you
guys.
Good to see you guys.
And Bob, great to see you as well, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Baseball winter meetings. Tell me how it's evolved over the years from a media perspective, Bob.
Well, night and day. Actually, my first one was 85 in San Diego. I think it was a town and country hotel. It was rainy and cold. It was miserable. Yeah. It was a reason.
This is San Diego we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah. It was a reason they didn't go back there for 37 years. But night and day, where everybody used to congregate in the bar, the lobby, all day long. Now all these executives, GMs, you don't see them. I mean, I haven't seen A.J. Preller yet. And you just don't see these guys roaming the lobbies. Just everything is so secretive. Where before, everything was wide open.
Scott, what would you say are the top storylines coming in to this winter meetings?
Well, I think it's almost like a couple different categories, don't you? I mean, the top storylines, I think Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, right, and where they end up. But they're the only two guys playing in that financial stratosphere. Then it's them.
It's a huge drop off.
And everybody else. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, after that, probably, I think that some of the trades being talked about, I mean, Cleveland, are they going to trade Corey Kluber? But probably one or the other, him or Trevor Bauer. Teams that are after Patrick Corbin signed with the Nationals, kind of the next tier of starters. You know, you have guys like J.A. Happ and, Wade Miley and Dallas Keuchel, of course. And some teams are trying to maybe trade for a Carrasco, or I mean a Bauer or a Kluber. In lieu of signing a free agent. So that all ties together. To me, I think after Harper Machado, it's that.
Bob, Bryce Harper, his situation, is it unlike anything we've seen before just because of the amount of money that could potentially be involved? Or have we seen something like this before? And how do you think it's going to turn out? Not necessarily what team, but what do you think, what kind of contract is this kid gonna get and what's he worth?
Yeah, no, we've seen this before. I mean, Alex Rodriguez, Albert Pujols, Teixeira 10 years ago. So it's just the money is much greater.
Yeah.
And the baseball is making so much more money. So when people say, oh, all these teams are interested in Bryce Harper, I mean, who's got $300 million to throw around?
Teams.
No. So even Scott Boras says when it comes down to, you're only talking two teams, three teams, I'd be serious. Philadelphia is the one team that says they want to do everything possible, throw all kinds of money, even stupid money, to get them. We know the Dodgers are kind of laying the weeds. And the Chicago White Sox are right there. So those should be the three teams.
I'm going to get back to the Dodgers, but this question is for either one of you. The Padres' name has been everywhere. It seems like they're in on everybody. How realistic is it that the Padres make any move? And obviously, I think the upgrade is going to be, or they're looking to upgrade the pitching or third base. How likely does any of those happen?
I think you're right. Third base and pitching, no question. Those are the two priorities. And yeah, with A.J. Preller, I mean, he's hyperactive.
Yeah.
So he's all over the place. But like you say, the question comes down to what's in the end going to be realistic or not realistic. And it's hard to believe, as much as you hear about the Padres being all over, that they won't do something here. Right. I mean, even at winter meetings a year ago, is when they made the trade to acquire the ill-fated trade to acquire Chase Headley and Brian Mitchell, because they were trying to be creative and add a starting pitcher.
Right.
They knew Headley wasn't going to be much, but they thought maybe Brian Mitchell has some potential.
Yeah.
So, I think they'll end up doing something before we go. But, third base, starting pitching. What do you think, Bob, on Padres?
They can get Chase Headley and Brian Mitchell. They could get a third baseman and a starting pitcher. I'm joking. This is Bob Nightingale, by the way, with USA Today. That was Scott Miller with Bleacher Report. Two great baseball writers joining us here at the winter meetings. Bob, your thoughts on the Padres and their farm system from maybe a national perspective? We're so close to it in San Diego. We can't hear anything else but this is one of the best, if not the best, farm systems in baseball. Does the rest of Major League Baseball kind of share that feeling, or is there a little more hesitation around the league?
No, they share the feeling that, you know, they're one of the best, if not the best. But, you know, hey, some of these guys aren't going to turn out.
Yeah.
And there's going to be guys they draft in the 35th round that will be better than those first rounders. So at some point, you got to win the Major League level. When I started covering the Padres, the Milwaukee Brewers were organization of the year about every year. But they never won. Everybody used to rip the San Francisco Giants farm system. They won 3 World Series in 5 years.
That's right.
You know, at some point, you got to win in San Diego, not Rancho Cucamonga or something like that. You know, that's what you're paying for. So, I think sometimes these people get way overramped.
Bob,
I
want to come right back at you. We just had Ken Gernick on it, and we struck up a conversation about how they use the players on the roster, and he was saying how it doesn't really bode well for free agency because guys are looking at that organization, and it's like, do I want to become a part-time player? Because there's so many in that Dodger organization. Out in the free agency world, are you hearing any of those type of rumblings?
Oh, absolutely. If you have a choice and it's close, you're not going to the Dodgers. I'm shocked David Freese came back. Maybe he thought he was going to get more money than he did, so he said, I'll take it. But, you know, who wants to be a part-time player? You know, no one that's competitive wants to do that. You know, I don't know him very well, but I'd be shocked if Jock Peterson's not miserable. Right. I mean, for a young guy to be shot, you know, a platoon system, it's going to ruin his career.
Yep.
Interesting. Bob Nightingale right there, USA Today, and Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. Scott, your thoughts on the state of baseball here as we head into the winter meetings. Beyond the players, anything baseball needs to address, get done, or wants to get done in this week? Or is this just all about making trades and stuff?
Trades and free agency, but I think maybe the one under the radar thing is the competition committee, the rules committee meets tomorrow. And, I talked to Joe Torre yesterday. He's on the competition committee, and he said we met in New York before we all came down here, and we're meeting again Wednesday. That's when they're going to talk more about, the pitch clock, which we all expect next
shifts.
Year, shifts and what they're going to do about that. And I don't anticipate, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't anticipate that there won't be, I don't think, major news out of the rules meeting tomorrow. I mean, in other words, they're not going to unilaterally rule, okay, the shift is outlawed tomorrow. They'll come out with recommendations, and then Commissioner Manfred will be talking with Tony Clark and the Players Union, and they'll see what they can do by next season. Is that your take as well?
Yeah, nothing will be announced here, but I'd be stunned if we don't have a pitch clock next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of these guys have already pitched with one in the minor leagues.
Right.
At least try it. They got to do something to, you know, get the game going. I mean, sit with scouts every night before the game. They're bored out of their mind. It's not the same game.
One more question before you guys get out of here. I've read recently that the momentum for, you know, outlawing or doing something with the shift has picked up. Where did this momentum come from? Because when you talk to people around the game, at least going into the last season, you didn't hear a lot about this. Now it seems like by the end of this season, it's much more momentum building towards doing something about the shift.
Well, I think the fact we had more strikeouts than hits and the games have become tough to watch, very tough to watch. And, hey, and tennis is down 4.3%. Biggest drop-off since 2003. Baseball better do something.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, hey, become better hitters.
I mean, that would
help your dad would hit 900 against a shift.
See, you're talking to two guys who are great hitters here, and that's what we say. Just be better hitters, right, Scott?
To Bob's point, he mentioned the attendance being down 4% or whatever it is. 17 of the 30 major league teams' attendance declined last year. I mean, that's a troubling trend.
Yeah,
and there is. There's been, I think, growing talk this year. Also, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Tony, but to your point, too, about the shift, we didn't hear much about a year ago. We do now. The total numbers, whatever they are, I think that the cumulative number of shifts all 30 major league teams put on this year were way up significantly over last year and the year before. And so that's trending significantly higher. Strikeouts are higher. Offense is down. Pitching's dominating. As Bob said, the game's getting boring.
Equaling a tough game to watch.
Exactly right. All of it equals the tough game to watch. And so I think, you know, as usual, you know, you look at the economic streams coming in,
that and usually when makes
attendance
everything
is going
work.
Down, and you know,
that's
there,
what drives
some
it. Yeah. Well, it might not be as fun a game to watch anymore, but it's still a fun game to read about. Thanks to these two guys,
no doubt.
Scott Miller, Bleacher Report, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Thanks, guys. Good seeing you.
You too.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.